Well, good morning. Good to see you here today. Thanks for joining us here back in our building. How many of you showed up last week at the building? Are you willing to admit it? Ah, thank you. You forgot where you showed up last week? It was like doubly, I'm sorry to pick on you, Tammy. That's okay. It's okay if you showed up here. I had at least one family say they showed up because they had forgotten that we were down at the park. But we had a great week last week. Those of you who were able to join us in the park, beautiful day, finally. We waited another year on that, didn't we? Because the previous year we had terrible weather, but it was perfect last Sunday. Had a lot of visitors in the park that day and just really enjoyed being able to connect with our community. And if you were able to sort of connect with us for the very first time at the park and you're here with us today, welcome. We're so glad you're here. So glad that we found one another. And hopefully this is a good experience for you as well to join us in worship this morning. It's a special day this week for us as well because, as you can see, we don't always have our baptistry set up, but it is set up for baptisms right after this service today. Three more people being baptized, and we're really excited about that. Yeah, you can clap. That's okay. We can clap in church. Really excited for these three women who are coming forward to be baptized. But we've had a real neat season of that going on here at our church, and we appreciate those who have committed themselves to Christ publicly in that manner, and we're excited today to see three more folks participating in that. It's going to be a good thing. So after we're finished and we dismiss today, just give us a couple of minutes. We like to do that so it's a little less formal for those who are nervous about getting in front of everyone, but we invite you to hang around if you can afterwards, and in just a few short moments we'll get back to the baptistry, get in, and I got our heater all hooked up. That's what all the yellow is, because I have to get in there. It's like 80 degrees in there, so we may not ever get out. But, you know, I've been fascinated with giant redwood trees since I saw them in Highlights magazine when I was in grade school. Anybody remember Highlights magazine? It was just really cool to get a hold of that, and I remember seeing an article in there about giant redwoods, and it just amazed me. I had no idea, growing up in cornfields of Indiana, you know, that things like this still existed. It looked like something from the dinosaur age, right? Giant trees, massive trees that can grow up to 350 feet tall. That's higher than a 20-story building, and broad enough to drive a car through them. And I remember, I think when I read that article in Highlights magazine, I think they had a photo of an old-timey car, you know, because they did that, they've done that for a long time. And so this is fascinating to see somebody be able to drive through it like that. And you might think that with trees so enormous like that, you know, they would have massive underground roots. I mean, these things must go deep into the earth, right? But the reality is that redwood trees don't have a taproot, and they don't have very deep roots at all. As a matter of fact, 5 to 10 feet is all they run down. That's about it. So how can something 350 feet tall and that big around, how can it have roots that just barely go 10 feet into the earth? You would think that they wouldn't be able to stand, right? It kind of defies the laws of physics. But it's because redwood trees don't grow as single units. They grow in groves, right? If you've ever been out to Colorado, the aspens are kind of like that out there as well. When you see them, most of the locals will let you know that that's really kind of one organism, right? They're standing together. The root systems are that intertwined that it's kind of the same organism. Redwood trees aren't quite the same organism, but they grow together like that in their roots, intertwined over a long period of time, and they become entangled with one another, and they stay for so long that they actually become fused together that way. And that is a support network that runs for those that 10 feet deep only, but it runs for the whole area that they stand in, right? Which is one of the reasons, by the way, that redwoods grow to be so old. Many of them are estimated to be 1,000 years old. Some of them are thought to be even double that. 2,000 years ago is a long time, isn't it? We're talking about the Roman Empire. in, you know, what was North America like during the Roman Empire, those trees would be able to tell us if they could talk. They don't talk, but they would be able to tell us that, right? That's amazing, isn't it? Amazing to think about. As Christian people, people who are followers of Christ, the idea of being rooted in Christ should be pretty familiar to us. If you have your Bible there, turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. You can get that on your device as well. We've got free Wi-Fi here. You can connect and figure out. Stay off Facebook, but look up in your Bible app. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 is where we're going to read. Paul says this to the church in Colossae. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That's kind of reflected in our mission statement. Do you know what our mission statement is here at Watermark? If you're new, don't worry about that. But those of you who've been attending or are members here, do you know what our mission statement is? Can you say it out loud? It's kind of like murmuring the words to the national anthem, right? If you don't quite remember them, that's okay. It's on the front of every bulletin. It's on every piece of, yeah, there we go. Thank you, Heather. It's always on our communications and things like that. We want to remember that. And I try to test you every once in a while because we all want our eye on the same goal there, right? Finding Jesus, knowing Jesus, and showing Jesus. That's our mission state, right? So when we receive Christ into our lives, we find him, right? That's what today is all about. Three people coming forward and saying, I'm all in. I am going to publicly declare my faith in Jesus Christ, and my entire life from now on is his. That is a wonderful find, isn't it? And you might even say Christ finds us, right? But we find him and take hold of him. That's the finding Jesus. And Paul says we also want to walk in him. So it's not just about one day finding him. It's about what do I do from there on? Rooted and built up, he says, in Christ. That's knowing Jesus. Second part of our mission statement, right? Knowing Jesus better every single day so that we are becoming more like him throughout our lives. But there is something else in there. Something more in the Christian journey. We must have Christ, of course, that's foundational, right? And we must continue it to grow roots that are deep in Christ, that relationship with him that we want as we live our lives. But he's also given us a network of relationships with other believers. It's kind of like the interconnected root systems that they have in those giant redwood trees. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, if you still have your Bible open. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says this. He says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, when he says the whole body there, he's talking about the church, not Watermark Church specifically, the church with a capital C, the universal church that God is putting together through Jesus Christ, right? So when you read that word, you got to read that into it, from whom the whole body, the church, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body, the church, right, grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's scripture, right? That's something we ought to be dedicated to. How do we get that done, right? How do we do it together? I don't quote Gandhi very much, but I'm going to quote him this morning. Mahatma Gandhi said this while he was still alive. He said, "I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians." And that, it kind of hurts a little bit, doesn't it, to hear something like that. And I don't know what your experience is, but I've known many people who would agree with him. They don't mind Jesus so much, but they're not sure about the church, or they're not sure about the Christians that they've known. In fact, I bet that there are some of us in this room who thought of someone in your life who has been like that. Maybe they're that way right now, a coworker or a family member, a fellow student, somebody in your life that kind of feels that way. There may be people in this room that have once themselves, ourselves, right, felt that way. Maybe we feel a little bit differently now. And there's always a chance when we gather together that there may be someone in the room that's struggling with that very thought right now. and you're not quite sure if you like the surrounding yet or not, right? And you're not alone. A 2017 Barna Group study revealed that 10% of the respondents identified as Christians whose faith mattered a great deal to them, but who considered themselves de-churched. Have you heard that term? De-churched as in they love Christ, but they don't love the church, and they've left. That's what de-churched means. As a matter of fact, statistically, we now have the largest growing group of religious people are called the nuns. You may have heard that. The nuns are not, in garb in monasteries, N-U-N. They are N-O-N-E-S. So folks that when they get to that religious designation are just saying, I am none of the above. Those are the nuns. Fastest growing group in North America right now. To be honest, when I hear some of the stories of why people have left church, I can hardly blame them. Maybe you've heard those stories. Maybe you've lived those stories. Maybe you've been a part of some hurtful past or seen folks that have been hurt in the past. From dysfunctional institutions to just downright sinful people. That happens, doesn't it? Churches have often earned a less than stellar reputation, right? Whether it's with the world or even with people who are Christians, right? In my own life, I don't know where you are at, what's happened with you, but some of the deepest wounds I have received in my life have been from those within the church, not those outside of church. And that's difficult to deal with, isn't it? It's painful and it stays with you for a good while. The fact is that church is made up of people. That's our first problem, isn't it? It's made up of people who are broken, who are fallen, who are sinful. But we got to remember that we're also made up of people who are healing and becoming, and most importantly, forgiven. We may be less than stellar at times, but that's exactly why we need grace and forgiveness that Jesus offers in the first place. And just like a family, we're a little bit stuck sometimes with who we're with, right? I mean, when you think of it, they don't have family reunions very often anymore. I guess some of you still do, but mine went away a long time ago. It's just one of those nostalgic things, you know? But you show up at those things and you think, I can't believe I'm related to these people, right? I mean, you don't get to choose who's in your family all the time, and you don't always get along with them very well, and that's just kind of a biological truth, isn't it? And when we come together here, we don't have like the guardians at the gate over here saying, I don't know about you. If we're going to let you in here, you don't look like you're so easy to get along with, right? We just don't do that. It's open to all because Christ is open to all. So we get who we get through these doors. And when they come through those doors, they bring everything that they have. Every burden comes with them. And we know that because all of us bring our stuff with us too, don't we? I bring my stuff with me every week. I try to keep it under control, right? Maybe I even try to tuck it away when it's not so presentable, but the reality is we've all got our stuff. We're all humans, and we all have this desire to have a relationship while being somewhat dysfunctional about it, right? Romans chapter 12, Paul says this to the church in Rome. For as in one body we have many members. When he says members, he's talking about the parts of your body, right? He's not talking about members in a society. He's talking about, my hands and my feet, my knees that ache, and my back that's really sore now. You know, we won't go down that track too far. But we all have many members in our body, and our members do not all have the same function, of course. So he says, we who are in the church here, though many are one body in Christ. That's what the church is called in the New Testament, the body of Christ, and individually members of one another. You know, we all have body parts we don't particularly like that maybe we think ought to be a little bit different, right? my eyes have always been so bad. I wish I didn't have, I have Coke bottle glasses, right? And you may not know that if you've only seen me on Sunday morning, I wear contact lenses. But if I didn't have my contact lenses, I wouldn't see Ernie in the second row here, which may not be so bad, Ernie. I don't know. I'm just joking. Gotcha. Never give him the mic. He'd be able to give it back to me, right? But I don't have eyes that work real well. But you know what? I'm very grateful, though, that I can still see and that I live in a time and an era and a place where that's not difficult for me to get that somewhat corrected, right? I wish that my skin wouldn't instantly burn when I go out into the sun during the summertime. I joke, I've said that here before, that I have three shades of skin during the summertime. I'm white because of winter, right? And then I burn and I'm red, and then I'm white again because I don't tan at all. It's those three colors, so it's not even worth it. But you know what? I'm grateful that my skin still protects my body. It still functions somewhat like it's supposed to. And I'm not even going to start on my dad bod, right? We're not going there. I know all of us have bits and pieces and parts that we wish that were thinner or better or functioned well or were stronger or whatever it is we're thinking. But the fact is that Paul reminds us, you know what? Just because you have a body part you don't like, you don't cut it off. I don't particularly like my ears either. I finally grew into them. But because I don't like my ears, I don't slice them off and say, forget it. I'm not dealing with ears at all anymore. I need my sense of hearing, and so I keep those members, even if they aren't perfect, right? The fact is that even though I sometimes wish my body parts were better, I'm more grateful than ever that they're functioning, and I'm somewhat reasonably healthy. So it is with the body of Christ, the church. When we get together, right? Paul says, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 if you don't believe me. Read that chapter this afternoon. We're all the body of Christ. And we need one another to function in the way that Jesus designed us to function when we're together. Yes, he knew that we would be less than perfect. Yes, he knew that sometimes we would injure one another and offend one another. And yes, he can still use us to bless one another richly, to help one another, to encourage one another, to support one another. The New Testament is filled with one another's. We're not meant to be this lone tree out in the middle of the prairie. And you know that storm is going to come and it's going to threaten whether that tree will see another year, right? We're meant to be like that giant red tree that's in the midst of a grove of redwood trees, rooted in the soil of Jesus and interconnected with the brotherly and sisterly love and support that God designed us to be. You know, when Paul was in prison, he wrote these words specifically to a church that he spent more time with than any other church during his missionary journeys, the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, he wrote these words from prison. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, in nearly 30 years of ministry, I've heard hundreds of people say that they don't really need the church. I can worship God out in the garden. I can worship God out when I'm hunting or walking in the woods. I don't doubt you can. That's wonderful. I don't really need to go to church, you know, to be a Christian. I have a relationship with Jesus. I just don't need the church, right? What did Jesus have to say about that? This dialogue that he's having in John, starting in, we're going to read from John 13, but 13, 14, all the way up to 17, where Jesus has his high priestly prayer, wonderful section of scripture where he's sharing with his disciples and intended that to be ours as well. 13:35, Jesus says this, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love for one another. Love. So how can we have love for one another if we're not with one another? if we're not together at least sometimes, right? At least in some sort of relationship. Christ wants us to be rooted in relationship with him and interconnected in our relationship with other Christian believers. So the question this morning really comes down to this. Are you trying to do this alone? Are you trying to do it alone? Because I'm here to tell you that Christ never intended you to take this Christian journey in isolation. We were made for connection. Even if you're sort of a reserved personality, maybe you don't like being around people, that doesn't matter. You still need connection. It can be slightly different form or way, but we need that. God created us to have a connection, first of all, to our Creator. That's what Jesus makes possible for us, right? When he came down and lived his life and died on the cross for our sins and was resurrected and now sits at the right hand of God, Jesus did all of that to make sure we had a connection and a relationship with him. We're made for that connection. We're also made for the horizontal connection with one another. And Jesus designed it that way so that we could be supported with one another. And you know, attending church and being here today, that's a great first step, isn't it? Because you get to know some folks. We gather with people who are in the same pursuit of a relationship with Christ, right? But getting together with a couple or 300 of our fellow Christians who are traveling through life and, you know, having an English muffin out in the foyer on our way out or whatever it is we do on Sunday mornings, you know, it's wonderful to gather together. But our purpose in gathering together when we're here on Sunday mornings is to worship Christ together. Sometimes we call that corporate worship. It's not a form of a business. That just means that we're gathering together with fellow believers so that we can do the one thing that we can do together that we can't do on our own. We worship Christ together, corporately, in a very special way. So we continue to remind one another of that vertical relationship with Jesus. We sing together, we pray together, we gather around the communion table and partake of that together. It's a special thing when we get together. But if we're going to be rooted in a relationship with Jesus and be reminded of that and strengthened for that when we're together, but still get to know one another, then we have to be rooted in a relationship with one another as well, and it's going to have to be beyond Sunday morning. Something else. That's why we have life groups, so that we can get together in groups that are small enough to know one another a little bit better. If you're like me, and don't be offended by this, but if you're like me, I have a hard time remembering everybody's name as they're walking through the door. Isn't it like that? Well, for the last 3 years, we've doubled and tripled our growth. So the fact is that if you're here today and you're looking around and going, I don't remember that guy's name, you're not alone. We're all trying to learn one another's names. It's a little difficult when we have this many folks, and we've got several that are usually with us aren't here this morning. So we have a lot to remember, don't we? That makes it a little hard to have those kind of relationships where you know one another well enough to be in one another's lives and to pray for one another and support one another. That's one of the reasons we try to have life groups. And they can come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. We have life groups that we're forming right now that'll begin meeting by in a week or two, by the 29th, right? We have existing life groups. Some of you are involved in a men's study or a women's study. That's a life group. We're not encouraging you to be involved in 20 of them. We just want you to be involved in something, right? Sometimes you gather together with your best friend or a couple of people from work that you know are Christians, and you begin having coffee together on a Tuesday and just speaking into one another's lives and sharing things together. One of the most encouraging groups I have been a part of while I've been here is our own life group, which we've now released, and we're going to be starting another one, but because we're trying to grow them, right? But I had wonderful relationships in that life group, and I know that they know things about me that not everybody knows because I'm going to stand up here and air my dirty laundry, right? But they were encouraging and supportive and prayerful, and we talked to one another about what's going on in our kids' lives and what's happening with their parents and how we continue this journey together. That's how it was meant to be, so we can build into that interconnectedness with other Christ followers, to love one another and to support one another. I hope that as we begin this series together and walk through what it means to be rooted in Christ and connected to one another, I hope you'll be encouraged to perhaps take whatever next step it is that you need to take in life. You need to mentor someone, you need to be mentored by someone, you need to get involved in a life group, you show up at a study or something you've always intended to do, to just take that one next step that Jesus is calling you into this morning. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much because we know none of this is possible without the love and sacrifice of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to die for our sins. We thank you that you give us hope of a resurrection through his resurrection. And Father, we thank you for the connectedness you provide to us through your Son, Jesus. We want that relationship and we want to build on it. We want to become more like Jesus by being rooted in him. But Father, we sometimes struggle with the relationships we're to have with other people around us, other Christians. So we pray, Father, that you would help us as we begin to look at the possibilities of stepping into that life group, stepping into that relationship, asking somebody if they're willing to have a cup of coffee once a week. Father, that you would use that in our lives to help us to be intertwined and to contribute to the growth and stability of your church here in this place, Father. We give that to you and ask for your involvement in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to watch this video together.
This is a story about life groups. About this time last year, I remember feeling that my life was missing something. I felt lost and disconnected. One day, while I was driving down the road, I passed this church. Right away, something told me that this would be a great place to get connected. It wasn't long before I found myself walking into a busy lobby every Sunday. At first, it was exciting just to be a part of all the momentum. But after a while, I realized I didn't know many of the faces I was seeing. Somehow, I still felt disconnected in the midst of all these people. Then, I heard about life groups and how I could make friends with people I didn't know. I have to admit that I hesitated a little, but signing up and joining a life group was a great decision. For me, it was the place I truly got connected. A lot of people, like me, have concerns about joining a life group. Like, what if the host has a talking parrot that keeps hurling insults at me? Or what if the leader only speaks in pig Latin? What if our first icebreaker is firewalking? Or worse yet, there's bad coffee? As soon as I walked in the door, I realized all those fears were ridiculous. I've made some lasting friendships and deepened my faith. And just like that, this growing church, for me, grew smaller.
As we close our services today and the worship team comes forward, we'd like to say thank you to our current facilitators that are leading our life groups now. And in addition to those groups, we are going to be starting some new life groups soon here in the fall and in the spring. If you're interested in joining a life group, or if you might be interested in starting a new life group, please see the Welcome Center today and sign up out there. And then over the next week or two, we'll give you a call and get in contact with you and discuss the possibilities. We also are going to be updating the life group tab on our church website with information about the groups to keep everybody updated that way as well. And if you're currently attending a life group, thank you. Thank you for creating the meaningful connections here in the church body. And do not feel that you have to join another group and become burdened by joining multiple groups, but thank you for the efforts you're making. And thank you as a church family for your consideration and support of our life groups and with helping each other find Jesus, know Jesus, and show Jesus. So if you would, please stand, and we'll close with our last song.